Drawing that was done last night. We want to pass this around. And here you go. Go ahead and explain what the Lord was showing you.
Well, you'll be able to see kind of what I saw, but I really feel like today's worship took it into another look. As far as I saw the flames coming out of Christ's eyes. You know, it takes fire to light a fire. His fire is available to all of us all the time. And worship is a great, oh my gosh, place to be in to get on fire, to be a witness. But last night, the worship was incredible. And when isn't worship incredible, though, right?
So you were having, like, just a vision of the fire coming out of his eyes. And so that's really important because it says that Jesus' face shines bright like the sun. And you ever look at a light bulb for a long time? I don't recommend it. But you ever do that? And then when you look away, you still see the orb of that? You know what I'm talking about. Kids, you know what I'm talking about. You do that every day. So let's have fun today. I just pray a release of joy in here this morning. We're going to have a good time this morning, okay? When I tell my jokes, you need to laugh. We need to have a good time. There it is. Joy on the sound, man, right now. We just thank you, Lord, for your presence that's here. And so when you look at that light and you see the orb, you know, that's like an analogy for gazing at the beauty of the Lord. Because the longer you gaze, the longer you behold him. John Eastlick was here last night. He had an awesome word about just beholding the Lord, just gazing on him, and the longer you gaze, the longer when you go back to work and you go back to taking care of the kids, the longer you gaze at him in your time with him, the longer that resonates, the longer that stays as you carry on with your daily life. Is that good? So, man, am I loud? Because can I get like a little more mic, because I like to hear myself. Good. Here we go. Is that better? That sounds the same. Is that good? Sound like... No, it's gone. There it is. Okay, good. So I feel like I had a message this morning. I'm going to still share it, but there's a few things the Lord was putting in my heart specifically for you this morning. So I wanted to... This is a book I wrote. If you're interested after hearing this, you want to order this book, there's order form on the table back there. It's called The Potential of God's Presence. And Henny alluded to the fact, you know, I move in the prophetic ministry. Raise your hand if you've been here for any of the worship nights I've been doing here over the last couple years. Okay, awesome. Now, everyone raise your hands. Okay, everybody raise your hand. Just do this with me. Who's going to be at my next one I do? All right, great, awesome. So what I want to share is just to go through how I actually minister prophetically, because I'll get on the keyboard and I'll minister prophetically, but this isn't something that I'm especially gifted at. This is something that we all as the body of Christ can practice in our walk with him, is waiting on the Lord, hearing his voice, because I believe that this place is called to be a prophetic house in the city, representing the city. Amen. Come on. And so, in order to, because the message I'm speaking today is called Sound Taking Shape. Sound Taking Shape, it's how to take what God has for you in the heavenly realm and manifest it on the earth. But if you don't have the understanding of listening and waiting on the Lord 101, then none of that message is gonna matter. You have to develop a place of waiting on the Lord in your relationship with him. Amen. So why was that awkward just now? Why was that 10-second pause awkward? I did it on purpose. Because in our culture that's so loud and noisy, and, you know, talking with my grandma, raise your hand. This is my grandma here today. Give her a hand. So we'll sit around and we'll talk about the good old days when there wasn't all this noise in our culture. And I wish I could go back in time and just experience that, because I've grown up in that. But I believe that there's so much noise, so much news, so much negativity going out, you know, that's surrounding us all the time, that I feel like the enemy is using that in our culture to rob even the church from hearing the voice of the Lord the way that God desires us to hear it. Amen? Do you agree? Okay? This is an interactive service, so you can feel free. Amen. Come on, somebody. E-Mark, help me out. So what I'm saying is that when we have that relationship with God, he wants to be able to speak. But I was talking about the scripture with Elijah when he ran away from the Lord. He went to the mountain. You remember the story where there was the wind and the earthquake and the fire and all this noise, and the still small voice wasn't able to be heard. And I shared this weekend at the conference. Hey, thanks, man. I'm just messing with him. We had such a good time in the Navajo Nation. So if you supported that team to go out, I just want to thank you guys for that. It was an incredible trip. And I found out how funny Pastor Henny is. I didn't know. It was awesome. I knew he was a great guy, but, man, he's hilarious. So if you want to know some of the crazy stuff he did, see me later. No, I'm just kidding. We just had a good time. So I'm talking about the story of Elijah where all that noise was there, and then it says that after it all subsided, then he heard the still small voice. I want you to hear this. God spoke to me. He said, Jason, I was speaking in the midst of the noise. I was speaking in the midst of the storm. I was always speaking. We read that and we think, oh, God waited till the noise ended and then he spoke. The Lord said, no, I speak in the midst of the culture right now. I speak in the midst of the hurricanes right now. I'm speaking in the midst of chaos. I'm speaking in the midst of tragedy in your personal life. But it's only when we get away from all that noise and say, Lord, would you just speak to me? I want to get away like Jesus did. Because Jesus set that example. It said he would go to the lonely places and hear the voice of his Father. If the Son of God modeled that and needed to do that in his life, how much more do you? Amen? Jesus had to walk on water to get away from people, and they still found him. It's just hilarious. But I enjoy it. Like yesterday morning, I spent some time with the Lord just taking a walk, because there's just beautiful creation around here that if you're here for a long time, you might take it for granted. But living in Dallas, Fort Worth, in the middle of the city, I don't take it for granted when I can be here and just be in the creation. And so it's just an encouragement to get away in his presence, because he longs to speak to us. He longs to share his heart. And the only way we can do that is to intentionally go away. Amen? You know, my wife and I, if we don't schedule times to go out and have dates in our marriage, we don't put on our calendar, it doesn't happen, right? You have to make an intentional time with the Lord to be able to hear him. So, anybody have like a police scanner at your house? Raise your hand if you do. Anybody? Okay. Have you ever heard of those or seen them? It's illegal now. Because I haven't seen one in a long time, that's probably why. But where you can go out and the thing will scan the frequencies in your region and pick up signals, pick up different things. And I think this is an analogy for how we can come before the Lord and put our scanner up. You know, you hear what I'm saying? To hear his voice. See, I'm teaching this morning. I feel like the Lord's saying, I want you to come in this morning and teach and just exhort on how to actually posture yourself, position yourself to hear the Lord. Some of you on your phones right now, and that's not a good way to do it. So the word that I use here is called scanning. When I sit down to a piano, besides having a few chords picked out, most of the time I don't have a song list. So Henny knows what I'm talking about. And some might call it poor planning. I call it a great plan, because my plan is to scan for God's plan and release it. So what I do is I just get on this keyboard and I just begin to play, and I begin to close my eyes, And I began to just wait on the Lord. And all of a sudden, I start to see things. I start to hear things in my spirit. Some of those things are for me. Some of those things are for people. Who's ever received a prophetic word from me in a meeting? Some of you did this weekend. Was it pretty accurate? Was it pretty encouraging? Exhortive? If it wasn't, don't tell me. No, tell me. I want to grow just like everyone else. It's okay. That was funny. Come on, brother. The sound guy. So the thing is, how do I flow in that? Did I just wake up one day and start flowing in that gift? No, it's developed. It's cultivated. And a lot of it was developed and cultivated in a room probably the size of, if you cut this little section right here, a little practice room with a piano at Christ for the Nations, spending hours and hours playing piano and listening and waiting on the Lord in that room, developing that, releasing my song in that room. When no one cared, no one was listening. And then the Lord said, Jason, your ministry is going to be taking that and just doing it with other people. Don't change a thing. Don't cater to this culture or the system. Even the contemporary Christian music culture said, don't conform to that. I want Davids coming up out of the field, raw musicians coming up out of the field that can just be themselves and create an atmosphere for people to hear my voice. Is that good? And I believe that, and I've talked to your pastor, that this house is a beacon of, it's going to be, I'm just declaring this place today, a download center for this region. I thought I'd get more of a reaction. A download center for this region where people come into this place and there's going to be a clarity in the air in here that's different from even the parking lot. We're going to walk in, and I know it's already true, but a new level of where you come into this place and there's going to be just a download, a place where the noise of the atmosphere out there is silenced. You come into this place and you're hearing his voice with clarity. Amen. So when I play my instrument, I'm not just creating atmosphere for the people gathered, for myself, and I'm scanning in the spirit. I'm calling it, somebody say scanning, say it. Scanning in the spirit. I'm putting my antenna out, pick up on whatever frequency the Lord's releasing. And there's times where I'll get pictures. Who knows what I'm talking about? When you're waiting on the Lord, you'll see a picture. You'll hear something. And so I want to give you a couple of stories. Once I was playing in a meeting, I saw a picture of a frustrated man driving a car, and I knew it was related to this guy's job. And through the picture, I knew the man in the crowd was frustrated with his job as a driver, seeking the Lord for a new direction of his career. And then I went and prayed for this man. He's a limo driver. I didn't know. And I start praying. So I just see this car, see you frustrated. He's like, yeah, I'm a limo driver, and I've been asking the Lord for a new job. Come on, somebody. God knows. God was there hovering over that situation. God heard. You know, a lot of times we're complaining, God still counts it as prayer. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. He says, I'll still count it as prayer. I know, Jason, you're just really whining right now, but I'm going to still count that. And so he was encouraged, and it motivated him in his life. God knew what his prayer was, and he sought new direction in his career. Here's an awesome one. I was on a missions trip in Prague, and a man in the church ministry team approached me, asked me to pray for him. Don't you love that, Pastor? Hey, can you give me a word? You know what I mean? They walk up to you, and they ask you to give them a word, and you're thinking about something else. But what I'll do is I'll make a point of contact with people. I'll actually, put my hand on a shoulder, because it puts me in alignment with the spirit, you know, what's going on in people's lives. It really does. And so what I began to see, let's read it out here so I don't paraphrase as much. What I did is he told me that he purposely didn't want to share what was going on. He wanted me to simply pray what the Lord put on my heart. So I put my hand on his shoulder, and I simply waited in silence for a few minutes. That's why I did the little waiting. There was an article I was going to read. I'm just going to not spend time reading it. But it was an article I was reading this morning about why do we fear the silence in our culture? Seriously, why do we fear waiting? Because I feel like I need to say this, man. I feel like that there's going to be more. I'm going to go up on the stage and declare this, you guys. There's going to be more of a release of the Selah in your meetings. I'm going to stand up here and declare there's going to be more of a release of the Selah in your meetings. And even on the stage. Which is the Selah? Who knows the Selah? Shout it out if you know. Pause. It means pause and wait to think upon the things that God's speaking in the moment. But we'll go through our meetings without as much of the Selah. And God's, this is God in your services. He's like, trying to find a little space in there to speak over his sons and daughters. And we need to give God his opportunity to share. He says in Zephaniah that he's singing and dancing over us right now, over you with delight. My wife's a professional dancer, so that's one of her favorite verses. She does modern dance. She does dance that is prophetic, which means when she dances, she reveals the heart of God through her movement, like a song would reveal or your art would reveal. Raise your hand if you're any manner of artist in here right now. Anybody? Musician? Okay. Musician or dancer or visual artist, raise your hand up. So I'm gonna speak over you guys right now. Keep your hands lifted up and receive this, because we did this yesterday, but I want you to get in on it. Because there's a release in the body of Christ today. There's a new release of what is called the prophetic minstrel's anointing. It's the anointing to use your art form to reveal the very nature of Jesus Christ, to reveal the very heart of Jesus Christ, so that when people hear your music, they see your art, they see your dance, they're not just going to be entertained, they're actually going to see a revelation of the heart of God. I prophesied over this lady that people are going to be brought to tears through just looking at her art, because it's going to so reflect. Man, there's going to be music you release, man. It's going to be more than just some lick that somebody else wrote, but something from your heart that you release that people are going to hear and actually have visions in the midst of it. Come on, is that good? So just receive that. If you didn't like, don't receive it, but I think it was good, so receive it. Amen. See, I'm not here this morning just to just teach some revelation. I feel like there's an activation going on. You guys feel that? Okay. So when I didn't get to the end of that story, I was so excited. Okay, what happened? So I was there, and this is what I saw. I'm just gonna put the mic down. Like, thanks God, thanks for that picture of a piece of paper tearing in half. Now I'm supposed to tell this guy that's what I see. Because when you're speaking words, sometimes you got to have faith to speak the first word. And I think that's why there's fear in us, because we don't know what we're going to do next, so we're afraid to say the first word. I'm going to tell you something, when you speak the first word, more is coming. Oh, it's always there. You got to be faithful to speak the first word, to share and just be able to admit, hey, I'm actually immature. I see in part. I prophesy in part. I don't have all the answers. It's okay. But people are always encouraged. And so what I did, I said, I see a large sheet of paper being torn too. And then when I told him that, then God spoke the rest to me. He said that the man was being torn between his job as an international businessman and his desire for ministry. So I spoke over him and asked God for clarity in his life, and they told me, of all the things I could have prayed, that was the issue that was heaviest on his heart. And so the man spent the summer, the next summer ministering to children at this camp in Prague. Because of that one prayer, he was activated with that encouragement. And so why am I sharing all is because I'm trying to take you through my process of how I minister in the prophetic, how I minister in when you see me up on the piano, and it's like, where is he getting all these songs and these things to sing? Because I practiced in my own time with God how to wait. And so it might look like, oh, he's so gifted. It's so easy for him. No. It's time of development, years of development, that it's worthwhile. Because when, and even if I didn't minister to anyone, it'd be worth it. Why? For my own relationship with him. And that's true. And the Lord said, take your relationship with me, and that will be your ministry to others. So if you're trying to minister out of just feeling like, oh, I want to have a ministry, it's not coming out of your relationship with him, it's not going to be as effective. Because it's just principle. It's not based on like a reality. Because we need to learn how to represent God. And if you're called to represent God in the city, how do you represent something? You know, I wouldn't ask someone to represent me that didn't have a relationship with me. Because I would actually fear, not a deep fear, but I would have like a fear that they would misrepresent me, misrepresent me because they didn't know who I really was. You know, does that make sense? So I want to talk a little bit about the word for praise called Tehillah. Who's familiar with that word, Tehillah? So I'll tell you a story. I went to Winnebago for junior high. And so I was in sixth grade art class. And whoever did like junior high pottery class before, who made an incredible work of art when you did that? Okay. So I did like the snake technique where you just roll up like this snake of clay. And then you wind it around. And if I could do like a visual with myself of what this clay pot looked like, it was something like this. You know, in my mind, I thought I was making this, and it ended up that way. But I put it in the kiln, and it just all warped and hilarious looking. I'm 41 years old. Somebody say, wow, you don't look that old. And now you're going to take me more seriously, right? Because I'm 41. So the deal is, I give this to my mom in sixth grade. You can go. I'm 41. You can go to my parents' house right now, today. Go to the sink and look by the sink, and what's there? That awesome clay pot. Why is it there? Not because it's so amazing. Because a mother's son made that for her. And so the Tehillah praise, I call it the homemade praise. I call it the praise that sons and daughters create, that they give to the Lord. Instead of coloring in the lines of someone else's creation, they're taking a blank canvas and they're creating something for the Father that comes from their heart. And so the thing that I feel stops us from releasing that type of expression, and let's be honest this morning, it's really rooted in some sort of fear or whatever that would be. And I'm asking you for your life. You know, if someone was up here, if I was up here leading, and I just said, I do this all the time, I say, okay, everybody, release a new song. Release a new song in this place. And oftentimes, I'll hear a few people, and they're often not belting it out. They're real meek and hesitant, which there's nothing wrong with that. But if we would get the revelation of how God longs for our Tehillah praise, you can also equate it to the analogy of the refrigerator, where you see people with kids, you see all the pictures. Like, I don't even know what color my fridge is anymore because they're full of all these pictures my kids do. And they're not hanging there because they're professional level, right? it's because my kids made it. And I'll go see it. And then I go travel like this on the road. I'll look up pictures of their art, and I'll start crying. You know? No, I do, actually. Because it's like there's a connection with that. And so just get the revelation. I think the revelation of knowing what the Father thinks is what breaks fear off of sons and daughters. I'm going to say it again. The revelation of what your Father really thinks about you is what breaks fear of man off of sons and daughters. Because if you're fully confident in who you are, because I'm walking around right now, I have no fear. I have no thought of what you're thinking about me, whether it's good or bad. I hope it's good. But I remember I went to Dakota High School, and I would go and do speech class. And this, I would do, it turned into an Elvis impression. Because I'd be holding my cart, and I'd be doing this, man. And it was involuntary. And I was like, woo! And my legs would shake. I didn't know how to. It's because I was afraid of what those kids were thinking about me. And then I went on a retreat, man, back when Jeannie Mayo was doing Cross Current, man. Went on one of those retreats. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, this retreat. And the way I got baptized, no one prayed for me. I went up front. I was just sitting there. And then somebody would start speaking in tongues real loud. And I looked around, and it was me. I was like, whoa, what happened? And this boldness filled me, man. This boldness. And when I went back to school, I was different. The people couldn't mess with me anymore. I was bullied. They couldn't bully me anymore because this identity went to another level. I went to speech class. I was cracking jokes. The people that used to bully me were laughing at my jokes. And God transformed me because of this understanding of who I was and whose I was. And those people couldn't affect me anymore, man. And so if you're hesitant, I just want to pray this over you. If there's a hesitation in your demonstration of the new song of the Tehillah, because I feel like the Lord was saying that there's going to be, number one, I don't know if you're in here, Pastor Henny, but number one, there's going to be a new level of the Selah in this church, of the waiting. That was the first prophetic thing you told me to declare. The second one I want to declare is there's going to be a new level of release of the Tehillah praise in this place, of the homemade praise, of a praise that comes from the heart. I want you to know He loves your warped clay pot. Come on. He loves your scratchy stick figure art. He puts it on His fridge. I want you to close your eyes if you want to do this. Visualize a giant fridge in heaven. Come on. I want you to see this. I want you to see your praise placed on this fridge. It's just a visualization. It's just an analogy of how God values your worship, how God values your voice more than you might. Because it says in the Word that God doesn't look on the outward, He looks on the heart. So the point of all this is just to really encourage you to take advantage of realizing that there's a two-way relationship in worship God desires. That it's not just, God's not sitting on His throne. He's not sitting on His throne saying, children, sing songs unto me 24 hours a day. Tell me who I already know I am. He doesn't need you to tell Him who He is. When we worship and we say, how great is our God, He doesn't need to know it. We are the ones that need to be reminded of it. Most of these songs we sing in church today are really reminders for us to remember, to rehearse who He is so we can continue on with the journey of life. But if you would really go before the Lord and say, what do you really desire? More than just to be told who He is, I feel like He wants to just be with us. Just be in relationship, man. Because, Henny, I don't go to coffee. No, Henny wants to go to the new Starbucks with me. I'm just like, man, I'm so tired of Starbucks. There's one in every corner where I live. But congratulations, you guys. So anyway, we don't go to Starbucks, and I don't sit down and say, hey, man, it's good to see you. Man, your beard, bro, is just incredible. So, England rugby, you love rugby. You're an awesome fan of rugby. And I just keep talking to him about things, about how great he is. And then I get up and walk out 30 minutes later. He doesn't say anything. That's not relationship, is it? But why do we do that with the Lord? And we just give him all these songs, and then we walk away, and he has so much to share. I'm feeling such an anointing on this right now. I'm passionate right now because I'm feeling his passion for his children to hear his voice, to hear what he longs to sing and speak over us. Because we need to be reminded of identity, who we are. But if all we do is spend time telling him who he is, we don't have time to hear him tell us who we are. So if there's anything you remember out of all these things I've shared, is just to really write this down, because I feel like this is, needs to be written down and prayed over and declared, is that there would be a release of the Selah on a new level and a release of the Tehillah on a new level. Is anybody identifying with this? Okay, because there's power in the declaration. It's not going to happen right away, but it's going to take, it's going to take more than this exhortation. It's going to take spending time just doing this, just practicing it. You know, I wasn't just so amazing at doing this when I first started out. It was a process. It was development. But it's only in the waiting that we're going to be able to see on earth as it is in heaven, right? So that kingdom come, that will be done on earth. So I'm going to go real quick through this. I don't know what time you guys usually end. Right now? He got me back. That's all right. I'm still in town a few days. So. No, I was seriously, what do we got here? So I want to go for maybe 10 more minutes, man. Okay. So I like this section over here, man. And then at the end, Henny, we got to cue the music for Henny's shofar sword dance, so just have that ready. So this is a message that I've shared several places, and I'm just going to take you through this. But I feel like the Lord wanted me to share that first, because when we have the Selah in place and we wait on the Lord and we learn how to express our homemade praise, we have the identity secure. So those are the things. We need to learn how to wait and have our identity, because you can't have your destiny manifest if you don't know your identity. You can't have your destiny manifest if you don't know your identity. And I felt like I want to speak this over you as a church. You know, that if you've ever dealt with identity issues, just look into the story of Gideon. Because Gideon was someone who, he would negative self-talk. If you want to look into psychology and the terminology negative self-talk, I think Gideon started that. Because he would say, I'm the least in my tribe. My tribe's the least of all tribes. And then God says, well, I've called you mighty warrior. I remember driving around with my family when I was a kid. My sister, remember one time, was calling me names, so I complained to my dad. I said, Dad, you know, she's calling me names and she's calling me this. And my dad's response was awesome. He said, well, are you? Well, are you? So he didn't just tell her to be quiet, but he challenged my identity. He challenged me in what I thought. And he said, this is what he said. He said, basically, it came out that it matters what I think of you more than it does what she thinks of you. And if my father, when I heard that, I think I stuck my tongue out at my sister, whatever. But the point of that is, it's like we worry more about sometimes what our brothers and sisters think than our father. If we got to the place where we were securing our identity with our father, it wouldn't be a thought. Even a thought of what our brothers and sisters were thinking. And when we're having an opportunity to release our new song, we start singing, I love you, Lord, lift my voice, you're an awesome God, thank you for your unfailing love for me. I'm not thinking about how you're judging that expression, because I'm so connected to realizing how much he loves this right now that I'm not even thinking about it. And we shouldn't even be thinking about what each other's thinking about because we're so thinking about what he's thinking about. Is that good? Write that down, okay? Don't even try. So the point of all this is just really understanding that we have to have that in our lives, that calling to meditation. It says that the word meditation is biblical. It's not New Age. The New Age has tried to steal the meditation away from the body of Christ. And I'm taking it back. Come on. Saying, no, it's, you know, we talk about New Age, but there's something older than the New Age. It's called the original age, the biblical age. Oh, my gosh, I love this section over here. The thing is, if we realize that, then we can restore that back to the body of Christ and hear his voice. Because we're going to need to hear his voice more in the coming days. I was saying this yesterday. Like, I'll go in a restaurant and the news will be on. And I have to go up. I'll physically go up and turn the volume down. Because I don't want to hear that. Because it's just a perspective of negativity I don't want to hear. I want to be seated with him in heavenly places and see his perspective on things. Amen? I'm not going to get into all that other stuff I was saying yesterday. But let me get into this message. I'm going to go right through. Sound taking shape. It's called sound taking shape. This conference is called Releasing the Sound of Heaven. What really releases the sound of heaven? It's you. You and your voice are called to release the sound of heaven. You're made in the image of God. This is good stuff right now. You're made in the image of God. Come on, yeah, woo! I remember I was at this wedding, and we heard this table over here, and they just burst in this laughter. And we're like, what's going on? They're having fun. So we got in our table, and we're like, all right, we're all just going to burst out at the same time, this huge laughter. And we planned it all, and we just busted out. And everyone looked at us, and we were the champions. So if you want to break out in that, that'd be cool. Go ahead. So sound taking shape, we're made in the image of God, and if he speaks things into existence, and I'm a son of God made in his likeness, and I can do what my father does, and I'm also created to speak things into reality as well. And I don't care where you live, what country, what town, this is the word of God. This has power and effectiveness anywhere, wherever you are. Because a lot of times I'm from this region, and there's just a thing here. I'm just saying where people get in this mentality. And we're the church, we're the kingdom. I'm not from here anymore. I'm not from Dallas anymore. I'm from a kingdom. I'm from and my mind is there, my heart is there. I want to live in that place. I want to have my revelation from there. And so I said it this way. This sounds crazy, but I'm interested in emptying heaven. And what are you talking about? We're always talking about filling heaven with souls, right? What does it mean to empty heaven? I'm interested in emptying heaven of as many individual and corporate destinies as possible through creating an atmosphere for you to encounter God and inspiring and equipping you how to manifest what you encounter. So realize that when in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is," it says, is now in heaven. So realize that there's something of your destiny in the heavenly realm right now that's there that hasn't manifested here yet, but it's longing to manifest. But how do we get it to? It's by going into our place of prayer and seeing that and having it stir in us to where we release our voice and see it manifest here on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying, I need your voice to partner with my word that's in heaven so that you can release, because we're the releasers now. He released creation in Genesis, but he's saying, now I'm calling my people to be the voice that releases my will in the earth. Is that good? Let me skip down here to Genesis. This is the message. Because what I'm doing now, man, and this is what I do in the prophetic, as I say, God, what are you hovering over right now? What does that mean? My question to the Lord is, God, what are you hovering over? How can I assist you in those you hover over to make a connection? So, for example, I just keep using you as an example. Like last night, E-Mark was here. And the Lord's singing and he's dancing, he's hovering. There's potential hovering over him. And in the spirit, I see that. I see the destiny on this guy. And so it's easy. I see that in the spirit. But then the Lord speaks it, shows it to me. And he says, Jason, I want you to come and partner your voice with what the potential that I'm hovering over him and make a connection of a manifestation in his life. And then I declare that, and it stirs something in him that resonates in him that actually causes him to walk it out. Is that good? And this is something we need, not just once at a conference, but constantly in our lives. Oh, my gosh, it's good. As I start living this out in my life, I'm preaching a message today that I'm actually living out. So Genesis 1:2 says, Earth was a soup of nothingness. Somebody say, soup. My grandma made me some soup. And every time I come up here, I gain like 20 pounds. Thank you. No, I'm serious. Thank you. It's incredible. And I go back and work it off. It's okay. So Earth was a soup of nothingness, an inky blackness. Okay, picture this in your mind. Just see this visually. God's spirit brooded. Another word is incubated over something. Incubated means to keep something. Listen to this. Incubation, think, of course, here you think of the chickens, right, and the egg. Incubating over the egg. To keep something in the proper conditions for development. So God, he was brooding over the waters, but think that he broods over you. He broods over your children. He's incubating over, keeping you in the proper conditions for development in your destiny. Thank you, Lord. Like a bird above the watery abyss. Then God spoke light, and light appeared. And God saw that light was good and separated light from darkness. So I actually believe this, that I have the ability as a father in my children's lives to understand. I look at their lives and their development, and I begin to see the destiny that God's hovering. And then I partner with God, and I speak over my son. I speak over my daughter. And then I begin to see the manifestation of who God created them to be, because I've learned as a father to partner my voice with what he's hovering over them. Come on, that's powerful. And then it translates because I'm a father to the body of Christ. I'm a good-looking young father to the body of Christ. So are you, brother. Where we hover and we see what God's doing over people. And God will help us identify. And then we speak and join our voice with what he's developing. And a manifestation happens. Is that good? We need fathers. We need mothers in the body of Christ. If you don't do anything else, just go and speak encouraging words over young people today. Because they're not getting it. I had a word of knowledge for a teacher came to my meeting last Wednesday, and I got a word. I said, Rose, that was her name. I said, when you speak and you show love to your students, that's some of the best love and the best encouragement they get in their lives right now, because their parents have no concept of what I'm talking about right now. And there's a fatherless generation out there right now that needs the church to step in. And if you think that you're little, you think about it like this, oh, it's just a little exhortation, it's not going to matter, stop thinking that way. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. So, number one, God brooded over. This is my first closing. God brooded over, you'll get that in a minute. There it is. And incubated over a coming future destiny. Then number two, God spoke and declared. He released a sound and a word. Number three, he saw. So there's the destiny. Number two is the release of the word. Number three is the manifestation. Listen to this. I studied Jesus' miracles. I went through all his miracles, and I noticed that Jesus spoke 90% of his miracles. Matthew 8:16 says, he drove out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. With a word. He didn't go to the demonic man and go, I'm just going to do a silent prayer. Can you imagine? There's a time for the silent prayer. The silent prayer is when Jesus went away from everybody. But when he went and he healed, he spoke word, because he knew the power of the verbal declaration. There's a verse, Ephesians 2:10, says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do the good works which he prepared in advance." Not that I believe that every single thing we do, God prepared, and we have no choice in the matter. That's, I don't believe that. What I'm saying is there are specific things that God's created for you as an individual in advance. He's prepared for you to do that only you can do. So if we realize that, that God's prepared a future for you and this has specific multiple works, we need to know how to access this. I don't have the video today, but I saw this video on YouTube of this. It was in Papua New Guinea. It was a volcano. And so imagine the boat is about maybe a mile offshore, and they're filming the volcano. I don't know how they got the timing for this, but you could see they're on the boat, and the volcano just erupts right in front of them with this plume of smoke just shoots into the sky. And there was a sound that you know, with the eruption that was released. You ever see on a video where you could see the sound waves in the air? It's a shock wave. So he saw from a distance the shock wave released, and then I counted, and around 12 seconds, you heard a loud the boom, and the camera shook. And then I'm watching, just goofing off, watching YouTube, and then God starts giving me this deep rev off. It's like, awesome, you know? And he says, "Jason, that's how I work in the natural and the spirit. Let me tell you what the revelation was. Is that the natural is when you hear the sound and you feel it. That's in the natural realm. But in the spirit is the visual, is the seer realm. Some of you are seers. Who's a seer in here? Where you see things before other people see them. And then you talk about it, and they're like, what are you talking about? It's usually what I'm always doing. I mean, I try to live my life like a year in advance because I have to schedule things that way. So if you get to a place where you're actively waiting and watching for the Lord, he's going to start revealing things to you to be prepared before everyone else gets hit with the manifestation. Is this good? Let me give you an example of how this applies in my life on something that's just every day, okay? Because we had this thing in Dallas where people were freaking out that there's going to be a gas shortage in Dallas-Fort Worth. Did anybody see that on the news? And somebody puts on social media, get your gas now because on Labor Day weekend, it's probably going to run out. So I have a video on Facebook. You can go, Facebook Live. There is a line. Imagine you go down your gas station here in Freeport. You see 50 cars in line. Some of you remember that from back in the day. I never thought I'd see that. I did just a couple weeks ago. Because people were freaking out, and it wasn't even true. There was no gas shortage. But because people freaked out and they were there, they actually created one. But the point is that I want to share was a friend of mine who is also a minister in the prophetic, and he does music. You know, he was talking about it. So the Lord said to me on the Tuesday before all that, he's like, hey, go out and get gas at midnight. I was out filling up my cars because the Lord was like, people are about to get crazy. So I wanna speak to you to avoid all that. So I got it on Tuesday when it was 40 cents cheaper ahead of all the crazy stuff. And that's what I'm talking about, where we should be in this flow with the Lord. For even little stuff like that. Is that good? So, as we do our second closing with Habakkuk chapter 2, I want you to turn there. This is how I'm really going to close this morning with this scripture. There's so much more I could share, but I'm going to read Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. What's God going to say to my questions? I'll climb to the lookout tower and scan the horizon. And I love it because Habakkuk even uses the word scan, and I was using that word scanning earlier. Talk about how I wait on the Lord. It's just you think of yourself up on the horizon just scanning. But you do that in the spirit, and you just close your eyes and say, Lord, just show me something. Show me what you want me to hear. And I'll wait and listen to see what God says, how he'll answer. And then God answered, write this. Write what you see in big black letters so that it can be read and declared on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing out to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. Somebody, I just laugh because I feel that way a lot. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on his way. It comes right on time, though. Amen? Sometimes God arrives in the right timing, and we think we're ready for it before we really are. So this is just a pattern of how we can live our lives, is to listen and to hear, to write the vision. I encourage you to write down the things God shows you and to verbally declare that and to see manifestation happen. And I want to share the word daybar with you, because this is what I practice every morning when I am at home and I go out and take a walk. I call it daybar prayer. It's the word D-A-B-A-R. It's the original Hebrew word. It means the word that will stir in you and drive you forward into a completion of your destiny in God. A word that stirs in you and drives you forward. You ever wonder how you just keep going with what you're doing? There's a stirring that God put in you. There's a stirring that He'll place in you. If you say, Lord, put your word in me. The word daybar actually means a word event. Think about God's word more than just this word on a page. We got to get away from that, guys. That His word is alive and active. And you can say this, Lord, release your daybar into me. Release the word that will stir in my soul, drive me to do what you've called me to do, drive me forward. It actually will push you forward to your destiny in God. Because I could come in here this weekend, I could hype it up. I could say, church, get ready. God's ready to pour out revival in this region. God's ready to do something incredible, and I could talk about how God wants to move and do these things. But if we as the church, we really don't, how's that revival going to manifest? It's not going to manifest because some special speaker comes in. It's going to manifest when the body gets in line with what God's speaking in the now, and they become the ones that declare and see it manifest in the earth. Is this good? Amen. So I'm asking the Lord right now, anything else you want me to share as we close? All right. So I'll share a couple testimonies before we close this out. Because I want to give you some real-life examples of how this works. We went on a missions trip to Grenada, the one that we did the summer before this. And the people there were trying to sell their property, their missions base, for years. The Lord says, I've sent you here to have a prayer worship time to release a prayer declaration on the property that it would sell. They haven't been able to sell it for 2 years. A month later, we get back, we hear from them that they have a buyer. I'm taking some of the credit for that. Come on. Not because I'm saying, look at what I've done, but because out of my obedience, I went all the way to another nation, and with my team, we all joined together, and we declared that. And we believe that the word that we declared brought a manifestation of something actually happening in the natural realm. That property was sold in the heavenly realm. Come on. And we said, Lord, would you manifest your reality? And he did, 30 days. There's this tree by our house that was ripping up our foundation of our shed because we have a neighbor. It was this massive tree. I would do my morning walks, and this tree needed to come down, and it was going to cost a lot of money. I wasn't going to pay for it because it's my neighbor's tree. And I was going through stuff with the HOA and calling lawyers crazy over this tree. I would go by this tree, and I would speak to the tree. I'd say, you're coming down. Tree, you're coming down in Jesus' name. And I'm not paying for you either. And I would do that. And it was months. Then one morning, I wake up to the sound. And I look out the window. And there's like five dudes climbing around in my tree, my neighbor's tree. And they're cutting the thing down. And I'm like, oh, yes, Lord. And I start praising the Lord right there in my window, looking out the window. And I'm watching a manifestation in front of my eyes of all those prayers that I declared. Is that good? This is how it works in your real life. talking about selling property. We're talking about trees coming down. You know, it happens in the financial realm where there'll be a project the Lord puts in my heart to do. And I'll declare that, Lord, there's always provision in alignment with your vision. I'll declare that and I'll see breakthrough. And there's too many stories of that. So I just want to share. Those are just a couple stories. There's so many more. But I just want to just end in prayer and just really declare, just really summarize what the Lord's speaking. If you've been blessed this morning, let me hear you say amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, we just want to wait on you. He's just saying, just practice the selah right now, just for a minute. So let's break all the this fear. Let's break off all this like uncomfortableness with the silence. He says, it's time for you to get comfortable in my silence. So as I wait, I see a picture. So I'm over here in my section over here. And I saw all of you. It's a word for everyone in this section. I saw you like this, just standing like this. You're pushing like this. It says you're those who push things into being, into exist. Is there a bunch of intercessors right here? Yeah. I know you. I see you pushing things. I see that assignment. You push things past and into the manifestation realm. You're birthers. He loves you. He says, thank you for doing that. He says, thank you for being my voice, joining your voice with me to push things into existence. Well, we celebrate, if you're an intercessor in here, and you know who you are, we celebrate you today. I just say I celebrate you. You're the hidden ones. You're the ones that no one knows about. You're the ones that get a lot of stuff done in the spirit and even manifesting in the natural. So I just celebrate you this morning. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, we thank you, Lord. You have the plans for, you know, I deliver the word. Lord, you have the plans of how it will come to pass. So we just thank you. Do you concur with the words about the Selah and the Selah and the Tehillah? Because I'm asking the pastor, because he's the head. I'm submitted to him. I come in as a prophetic ministry, but I'm submitted to the pastoral. And I ask him if my word's okay, because if it's not okay with him, it's not okay. But since we're in agreement, Lord, I'm praying together with him. Lord God, for the manifestation of more of that waiting in this house and more of the declaration of the Tehillah, the homemade praises, and the prophetic words, the heart of the Father. Wow. I just see the heart of the Father. It's like a big heart in this room. I just see this church just hugging on the heart of the Father. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Is that a good picture? Who just is hearing stuff right now? Just raise your hand. You're hearing stuff from the Lord right now. He says, learn to develop this hearing ear. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, you said so many things today. I'm so grateful to have the privilege to share at this house this morning. And there's a lot of me in this, a lot of my personality joking around. when we filter all that out, God, there's your word. And Lord, your words come forth, and so that's what really matters. It's not the presentation of the word, it's the word itself. You are the word. So Lord, I pray that whatever you desire to manifest deep into our hearts this morning, it would take root and grow, and that fruit would come forth out of this morning, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, just say amen. Amen. So, I know Pastor Henny shared that he's going to give an opportunity to sow into the ministry. And I just wanted to take time, just 1 minute, to share something that we're doing so that you can really join your giving to something that's more than just a face or a person, but it's a ministry that we're releasing in our city and in the nation. It's called the Company DFW. It's a company of prophetic musicians, dancers, and artists that were coming together that's modeled after Samuel's company of prophets. And we're coming together to go and release missions all over the earth. And so we're going to be doing different projects and things. And one of the things Lord stirred me to do is to take a team of prophetic artists down to Houston where there's been the flooding. And we have a host church. And we're going to do a night of, or maybe two nights of prophetic worship music. We're going to ask the Lord to release words of comfort, exhortation, encouragement, and over the city. And then we're going to do a recording of that, and then we're going to put it online and just give it away to the city for free. Does that sound like a good idea? Sounds like a God idea, because I wouldn't come up with that. You would start to download that to me. So that's an example of something that we do. It's just going into places, releasing the sound, releasing the word. Who's encouraged today? I hope you were. Because that's what he's called the prophetic to be, in essence, is to comfort, encourage, exhort. It's not to come in and point the finger and say, you need to be doing this better. I pray that that's not what you heard today, that you were encouraged with hope and joy to move forward into more that he has. We had that song about the banqueting. Was it here, the banqueting table? And I told a story about my son. This is my fourth closing. Where, come on, guys. Where we at night, we'll say, let's do our prayers. And he'll bring it up. I forget. He's like, Dad, we got to do prayers. I'm like, oh, I love this kid. And then he's like, all right, Phoenix. His name is Phoenix. He goes, Lord, I pray for more pizza and burgers. Amen. More pizza and burgers every night, you know. And it's just awesome. I love it. But I was using that example as how sometimes we get used to pizzas and burgers. And if we only eat that, it's not going to be healthy for us. So the father is like, man, eat some of this broccoli, man. And then you'll get your treat and it works. It's good. And so the point of all that is just saying that God has so much more for us. And so when we minister, what we're doing when we're traveling is just trying to bring more of the banqueting table to the body of Christ. And so I thank you guys for allowing me to be here and share my heart with you and just pray blessing on you. So thanks, Pastor. All right.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.